My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg. It's a Sunday morning. This is an interesting date in the calendar year, Sam. We will talk about that throughout the show. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And let me just, before I even say the city, 285 at Martin Luther King Drive. It is 285 is a cluster. Southwest Atlanta, not just on that side of town, but in DeKalb County, Sam, there was a big accident sometime this morning. They closed down all the lanes. We are trying to get updates throughout the morning, but I'm just telling you, if you got to deal with 285 on one side or the other side, yeah, you might want to do your due diligence.
Well, one we didn't know about. The one over on the west side, we were told to be on the lookout for. And I'm like, how long are they going to be doing that?
I don't know. Well, probably till Labor Day. You know, when things get going again with school and all that. But
I guess. I don't know, man.
I don't either. We didn't get that memo, did we?
No, but they just keep every weekend we're going to be doing
they told
I don't
us.
Know when they're going to get this done.
They use the World Cup as the excuse. Oh, no, we fixed it up to get beautiful for the world. Well, they gone.
Yep.
Social disconstruction. But that's okay. You do what you got to do. You know what the pick city is this hour?
What is that?
Stockbridge. Remember when I went out there and met the mayor?
Yep.
I did, yeah. It was years ago.
Okay.
But I had never been. Come to think about it, how many mayor's offices have you been in over the years covering the various mayors and even Atlanta? I've never been in the Atlanta mayor's office. I don't think I've been in.
I've been by there.
Yeah.
I don't go in mayor's offices, man.
Just curious. No. You know, you for whatever reason you brought in there. You get awards all the time. I thought maybe somebody had brought you in
I see mayors, they're at a game. I see them at a ballpark or stadium.
I seen one downstairs here at Colony Square.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're getting something to eat. Anyway, how was your Saturday?
All right. It's cool. Yeah. Nothing outstanding.
Cool was not a word to use to describe yesterday.
Cool's got to stay inside. You can come out in that heat and roast if you wanted to. You know, and it's going to be forecasted to be much the same thing today. Heard some rumbles, like, and the things kind of clouded up like it was going to do, but it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, but it's that time of year. Sometimes you may get it, sometimes you may not, but you know, you just govern yourselves accordingly. You know what we have, you know what time of year there is in this part of the country, and usually in the afternoon or evening, things could cloud up, and you might get some thunder showers or something around the area. So be on the lookout.
You know, God bless y'all. I got to get out there and do some yard work.
Yeah,
I got mine done, and I'm now doing it like after 5 or 6 in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as long as you got the sun.
You can wait.
You can wait and knock it out, do it after work, do whatever. But, those of you got to be out there in this stuff. All right, where do we start? Let's start off with something positive and with a team that we haven't had a chance to do that with much. But yesterday we talked about the stone in Atlanta United's shoe is New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, since the first day, since the first season, you guys have been a problem for us, right?
And what happened yesterday? Now, let me check with Noel. We're all good? Well, let's give you a little taste of a little bit of what happened yesterday.
Play it ahead to Cooper Sanchez, who turns at the right halfway line and dribbles into the Red Bulls half and flicks it ahead now to Jakob. Jakob with a cross to Moranchuk. Poked to Moyenba inside the arc. Shot! Score! In the first half, he put one over the crossbar from close range, He makes up for it with a beautiful goal here in the 70th minute to equalize.
Yeah, just the first of two. We're starting to show off with Mike Conte. And a goal.
We haven't been able to do that as
much
this
season. So listen, let's take advantage of it here on this August 16th. Mike Conte.
Why not?
Goal call, starting off Atlanta United, taking it to the Red Bulls. 2-1, we're going to hear another goal call, but just, you know, it's almost worth waking Jason up for. Just to,
We're not going to do that. Yeah, we won't do that to Jason. Well, we got to celebrate a little bit afterwards last night. You know what? Yeah. I don't know if it's the new turf. I don't know if it's being away from the bins. And you just think about that. All that was new. They hadn't been in the building since before the start of World Cup. And they're back in their place, a place that used to be so intimidating for teams that came in for MLS. And, you know, it had that aura about it. We had the crowd was something that, you know, was such a home field advantage for Atlanta United. And really, that's been lost this season. And you're trying to regroup that. You're trying to do some new things with your roster and your lineup just to try to have some success here. You know what that means to the area. We had a great year of soccer. In this city.
I was going to say
The city has had a fantastic. Yeah. Now we get these guys on a positive page. You know, that would be great. That's what we're looking for.
You know, everything that you just said was a great breakdown, but you know this to be true in all aspects of life. Sometimes, you know, you spend your time learning how to do something. You have a foundation attached to it, and you start there, and you go through what you have learned over the years. Then sometimes when stuff is just not working and you don't care, you just go out and do it, and you'd be amazed how successful you are. I don't know if this applies to you in writing or other aspects of your broadcast career, but there have been times where I've come in here and done a show with you, done one of the best shows,
yeah.
Didn't prep the way I normally prep, yeah. And all of that. I'm just saying – Atlanta United
just the feeling you get.
Yeah,
right?
And Atlanta United could have went in and said, listen, we got nothing to lose.
We already lost. We at the bottom.
These guys have been handling us, so on and so forth, and just take that mentality and just decide to come in through the side door as far as how they approached yesterday, and look what happened.
Yeah, yep. You know, that's maybe this can be the spark for the team to get the win at home against a longtime nemesis in the Red Bulls. Maybe that can ignite some things. So I think that was fantastic.
I have a question to ask you, yeah. And I'm very serious about this because I was thinking about this when I was listening to and Noelle, when she has a moment, she can jump in here too. By the way, we have a Noelle's World at some point during the show today. When did it become vogue for American stadiums, and that's across the board as far as sports, to implement that train horn? When there is a goal or something like that. I can't remember when it started. I just know that everybody, short of baseball.
Hopefully everybody, and I think you heard it a lot in hockey arenas, you know.
Indoor arenas, period.
But here it's been something, I think, synonymous with our city.
No. You know who used to do it first time I heard it? Houston Astros.
Okay. Well, maybe
I'm just saying it's that sound is something that stadiums use, and it's kind of universally, you know, up. Getting people worked up, or
I don't think everybody uses it.
I'd say everybody. I'm just saying it's one of those things that you will hear throughout a particular sport, indoor sports particularly.
Yeah,
I've noticed it. I've noticed it at a lot of soccer matches. I've noticed it a lot at indoor football games,
mm-hmm.
Not outdoor, but indoor. So anyway, I was just curious. When did that become vogue? 10 years ago, post pandemic. Before the pandemic, I was going to say.
So I think here it has something to do with the origin of our city. And it's what we do. It's the railroad. That's what made the city
But I don't remember hearing it before Atlanta United started playing here.
Yeah, we didn't bring it until we got into the new stadium.
Yeah.
It's to celebrate the city of Terminus.
Didn't it? All right. Well, that's for Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay, or Georgia, I should say. Because I didn't hear it in the Dome.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it didn't happen until we got over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but it's something that the Falcons do as well. It's just something that happens over there, period.
Georgia State, though. It's over Georgia
you
State.
You do use it there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember hearing it was with them
cheating Astros.
Yeah. Well, you remember who the name was originally on their stadium.
On Houston?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Was Enron. And that's the thing.
Oh, that's right.
And a train.
Man,
and a
I
train
forgot
went around.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because okay, y'all so forget Enron is Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so that's kind of.
Yeah, we focus more on the stock market part, but yeah, it's an energy company out of Houston.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all, I cringe telling people that a job I used to have and the company I worked for. I'm not kidding you. Now, I don't know where this isn't the main dude who we all know about, but I worked for a company on the trading floor at the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago called Madoff & Sons.
Okay.
But it wasn't Bernie Madoff or Madoff or that family. But it was, you know, and when I tell people that these years afterwards, they look at me funny. He's like, you work for that dude? I was like, no, just no. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As much as we are enjoying talking about Atlanta United and what's going on with them, you got to take a second and pause and ask yourself, as excited as we were after the All-Star break with this Braves team, right now?
You just dropped a couple to the Diamondbacks, who are not a bad team.
It's no, not they're not. They're actually, them and Milwaukee, don't be surprised if they end up.
Yeah, so it's not that. I don't think it's anything to shake your head about. I mean, we still have 7.5 games on Philadelphia.
No, I understand that.
I got my eye on something that's coming up with this team. I'm rather look ahead than dwell on this. We've dropped this series. We're going to drop 2 out of 3 in this series, which, okay, if that's what's happening. But we're looking to see what happens going forward. We talked yesterday about what they have coming up.
Yeah, what's coming up, that little back and forth with Milwaukee.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. You got Milwaukee, you got Minnesota, you got a tricky road trip with that little stop in Chicago in between. And, let's see if they can get a win today. Bryce Elder's going out there. But let's see what happens, going forward with them. I mean, I think that's what I'd rather look ahead to this, because we know what happens a week from Tuesday. The guys from Los Angeles come to town. And so what they do this week to get ready for that, will they make any changes in the starting rotation? If Malley can continue to pitch the way he's pitching, you start to think now, if you had to start the playoffs today, who would your 3 pitchers be? You're going in. And right now, I guess you would say Sale, Malley, who just came on, and Elder. Would those be your 3?
Okay, and that's fine. But my concern, if the playoffs were to end or start today, is what we talked about. In fact, the last couple of times Chris Sale has pitched, run support.
It was run support, yeah.
And so that, you don't know when that's going to turn on or turn off. These guys you look at some of these teams, and I keep going back to Milwaukee and what I'm watching with these guys. Did you see what they did in the Dodgers yesterday? These guys are playing and reminding me of the 21 Braves team, what Milwaukee's doing right now. It just seems like things are falling into place for them. Now, again, it's still August, so I'm not going to walk into traffic yet. But like I said, we saw something that gave us hope and extended the gap between first and second as far as the Braves and the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. I'm just right now, you go from series to series, and they didn't win this series, and you look at some of the things that happened in the series, and you look at who they're playing too. Boy, that Arenado. Well, let's make a call and see if we can dude over here, man. Anyway.
We're watching this here, return of a couple of guys, and maybe Chad Bishop is going to join us later on.
And he is
going to
do
a deep dive with the Braves. Spencer Schwellenbach is a guy I really want to, talk about those guys and Strider, if they're just done for the season, whenever they can contribute to the team, and just see who's going to be able to come back and rejoin this team. I think that's the other thing you watch for. You picked up a pitcher who was showing you good things so far in Malley since he's come over, and happy to be obviously in this clubhouse, and you see if he can continue to give you that type of effort. It's the start of, well, now the middle of August, you think about it. So you still got basically a month and a half to get your offense going, but also to solidify who your starters would be for the postseason. And I think that's what these final weeks of the regular season is what you hope to do.
Yeah. Like I said, I got worked up into a lather the way the game started. They got beat the night before, and it was like Atlanta came out, and we're going to remind you who we are. And Ronald Acuña, right out to center field. Boom! Gone. Got 2 runs in that first inning, and then they went and took a nap. So that was one of the maddening things about yesterday. Speaking of baseball, do you see what happened yesterday? And Wrigley against their arch rivals, the Cardinals, they had a dude, a rookie, did something yesterday that nobody else in the history of this sport has ever done. First three at-bats, three home runs.
Oh, man.
Not only that.
What a show.
This playing for the Cardinals in Wrigley, which makes you want to, you know, speaking of walking into traffic. But he hit one in left field, center field, and in right field. His first three at-bats, Jose Baez, 23-year-old rookie, first three at-bats, three home runs, and like I said, hit him to all three areas of Wrigley Field. And it just, listen, as a broadcaster, I got to talk about this story, but yet as a Cubs fan, you know, you just feel what those people that were there in the game got to be feeling. It's one thing getting beat by the Braves or somebody else. You don't want to get beat by the Cardinals at home. Not the Cubs. You don't want to get beat by the Cardinals. That's your rival. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Throughout the show, we're going to be talking, giving you our opinions about the Falcons and what we saw the other night and what's around the corner. These guys are going to be taking on Indy not only in the scrimmages but also next week's game. But David Archer, if you did not hear his post-game comments, we're going to replay those for you coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Megan O'Hall. Going to join us talking WNBA in the 8 o'clock hour. And as you said, Chad Bishop going to be joining us talking Braves in the 9 o'clock hour. Did you get a chance to watch anything as far as NASCAR yesterday? Because they had something happened yesterday. Ended a 9-year drought for Joey Logano.
Yep.
We'll get into that too. So, listen, this is weird. I'm trying. I was going to keep my mouth shut. Sam, I really have been trying over here. But I feel like I'm sitting in the backseat of my own car. You know, when you do your show from a different position, it's not like we're downstairs at the Peachtree Road Race, and I see Noelle laughing at me. Because everything, we walked in here and there was equipment malfunctions going on. All right, we adapt and adjust. But normally it's the other positions. And I used to get to stay in mine, but now I had to move. I'm actually sitting in your position.
Normally.
Yeah. But yeah. You're looking this way at me, and there ain't much space between. I have to turn this way and then turn this way to look at, you know. It's like I said, it's like driving those cars in Europe where you got to get on the other side. Driving on the wrong side of the road. And with a steering wheel over on the wrong side here. So I will adapt and adjust here. One of the other things I want to do throughout this show, since we're talking baseball, did you know that they printed out the ABS challenges so far this season? Major League Baseball's ABS challenge system, they have tracked it. They've got the team and the player rankings as far as – and the umps.
Okay.
And I want to get your thoughts on some of these. Like the percentages and who ranks where as far as all these guys. But I don't see a lot of Atlanta players here. I'll just give you one off the top. Major League Baseball team ABS challenge rankings. So they got them in alphabetical order as you look at them. But when you get to Atlanta Braves, their batter success is at 40%. Only 40%.
All right.
For the challenges?
For the challenges. Pitchers, catchers success is 60%. They've done that 12 times.
Okay.
All right. The total success for the Atlanta Braves is 51%. 51.7. According to this, of all the challenges, they've had 20.
Do they have the outfield percentage?
Let me go and look and see here. They got catcher. Mm-hmm. They got batter. When you say outfield.
I'm only asking because.
No, they don't have outfield.
At this point, Ronald Acuna is notorious for bad challenges. So I'm wondering how much he is weighing down the average here.
Ooh.
Because I made a joke the other day that I support all Ronald Acuna Jr. and Angel Reese challenges.
Okay.
But I said that because they usually all fail. So I'm wondering how much he's bringing down the average here.
Okay. All right. Well, let me look and see. So I got team here. Let me look at catcher and then batter. So that's where he would be. He would be in batter challenges. And he ain't even on the list. I'll tell you who's on the list. Who's at – because like I said, they got this kind of Marcell Ozuna. He got 12 on there. He's at 52%. Like I said, I don't see – of the players that they have ranked here, there's no individual Atlanta Braves players.
Interesting.
None. The person with the highest that I can see so far, highest success rate, Jeez, you're going to hate this. Well, wait a minute. Excuse me. Take that back. First, I was going to say Jose Altuve. He's at 65%. But there's a guy who plays for Toronto, Davis Schneider. Davis Schneider. 81%.
Ooh.
His success rate.
Wow.
Yeah.
He can tap that helmet anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
He got the green light.
So, yeah. And not a lot of big names on here. Bryce Harper's on here. He's at 50%. I mean, straight up 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, you can see these here, but we'll get through these throughout the show. Up next, top of the hour, we always turn things over to Mr. Crenshaw. I'll let you know what's going on locally. I would like to add a couple things to what you're going to be talking about locally. These are going to be local events coming up.
Sure, sure, sure.
You don't mind?
Absolutely.
All right, we are getting started on this Sunday morning, 16th day of August. Thank you guys for letting us be a part of yours. Sam and Greg, along with Noel, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this 16th day of August. It's a Sunday. I want to thank you guys for letting us be a part of yours. Once again, be very, very cognizant of the fact that 285 on both sides are dealing with some issues. One side is construction going on. One is recuperating from an accident earlier this morning and still might be kind of just messed up. So take that in mind as you're heading out this morning. But let's see. 703. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a good morning to everybody in Union City.
All right, now.
Yeah.
You're liking it out on the south side this morning, huh? Stockbridge, then Union City.
Why not? I'm jumping all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that people who live in this city should know the name John, well, I want to get it right, Pemberton? Should know the name John Pemberton. We lost him on this date.
Yes. But,
yes.
All right, Noel jumped in first. She knew who I was talking about. Well, I didn't know who that was until I moved here.
Okay.
And then it's like the name comes up. Somewhat, it's almost like Ted Turner when you grow up here, or
yeah,
you know, pick the athlete. But if you don't, well, listen, who is John Pemberton? Noel,
the inventor of Coca-Cola.
There you go.
Yeah.
So y'all should know that name. Anyway, he passed on this day.
Ah.
A lot of people passed on this day, and it's just the birthdays and the people who pass on this day are crazy. But, well, we can start with the two most famous ones, Babe Ruth and Elvis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Both died. And then along with this dude. Isn't that a threesome already enough?
That's wow. That's up at the top right there.
Right? So.
The day Elvis died. Wow.
Yeah.
I think there's a YouTube compilation of, like, all the news reports of mm-hmm. when Elvis died today. So you can sit there and, like, feel, like, simulate what it was like to be there that day.
It's, you know. I don't remember what I did. I just remember the news. And, of course, news coverage, when you think about it.
Back then.
Yeah, you got to compare it to
it
like.
It was rumor.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
yeah.
And, you know.
It's like, is that real? Is it true? Is it not true? Yeah,
well, you got to remember, you had to suss things out of his little Memphis Mafia, as they called
mm-hmm.
it. Right? Because they weren't talking. Sonny and Red weren't giving up information freely. But it eventually did come out. But when you think about that news being dispersed the way it was, then you look about a couple other key figures at that level. Mm-hmm. So like Michael Jackson.
I was just about to say, yeah, that was. I think that was like the last. Is it true? Is he really? Is he in the hospital? Did he pass? Is he? I think that was like the last true. Like, where were you and what did you think?
We have witnessed two, you know, announcements like that. One affected this country in a way, and it affected other parts of the world. But the other one truly went around the world and stayed at that same high level, and that was Ali.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget about Louisville, you know, and what they, you know, how they celebrated it. The world. And I can't remember a person, Sam, in our lifetime that, you know, I'm trying to think of maybe a pope or something maybe like that.
Someone of that magnitude,
right? Exactly. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Sunday morning. We start off our second hour of the show, always turning things over to Mr. Crenshaw and letting you know what's going on locally.
And you have some things you wanted to bring in, too.
I will.
So I
know
what you...
Well, I was going to get on the tail end of your stuff.
Okay,
your
all right. We're just making people know that we're getting ready for the first full week of high school football coming up this week. Of course, we got things started already with four of the games of the Corky Kell Dave Hunter Kickoff Classic, which you were able to hear some of those games here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will have more coming up later this week. Of course, there'll be four more games. Let me see. Two games Wednesday night at Kale, Pebblebrook against Clark Central. And then 7:30 game will be Kale against McEachern. Those ought to be great games there. Also on Thursday, the 20th, at Blessed Trinity, there'll be Centennial against Dunwoody. That's the 4:30 game. And then Decatur and Blessed Trinity. That's a 7:30 game. You'll hear that one here on the station. Then Friday, the scene shifts to Center Park Stadium at Georgia State for three games. The 2 o'clock game will have Hebron Christian against Carver. The 5 o'clock game, Coffee against Parkview. And the 8 o'clock game, the last game of the whole kickoff classic, will be West Forsyth against Houston County. Yours truly and Coach Chris Parker on the call for that one. So you might want to tune in for that also. We're going to, you know, we'll be doing kind of a hybrid scoreboard show and the game, because that Friday night there'll be a lot of games happening around the area. So as we get scores, we'll be telling you about those scores and whatnot that are happening of games around the area, and keep an eye on the game we're going to be calling.
Got a question for you. And yeah. I'm not intimidated by this. I don't care, because it's the reality of broadcasting. We wear different hats, you and I. And I've never asked you this before, but when you and Chris start a season, you guys have been working, you've done the high school show a few years. Is it like putting on a comfortable glove when you guys get back and crack the microphone for the first time?
Well, yeah. And we were here like last weekend, and it was like, great. I mean, and the thing, it was a preview show. It wasn't like the normal show we, you know, was sending out the people to get set for games and whatnot. We had guests to call in that we did interviews with. Mm-hmm. But sure, I mean, you know, he's following things throughout the season. And we, when we hear about things happening, we text each other. Hey, you see that?
So he's like you. He's like your other partner, like me.
Yeah, you know? We hear about things about me and what's going on. He stays plugged in. We know, of course, this year he was a keynote speaker with the coaches over in Athens. So he stays plugged in. Things that he finds out about, he'll pass along to me. Things I find out, we keep that exchange going on. And we know we're headed to this season, and you know, get things to go. There will be a triple header at Hoffer Stadium on Memorial Drive on Saturday. And they want you to know these three games that will go on there. I think it's one ticket price. You get three games. All the Cap County schools, you get Tucker against Columbia, followed by Lithonia against ML King, and then Southwest DeKalb against Stevenson. Those are three games that will be on Memorial Drive at Hoffer Stadium. That is coming up on Friday. Lots of full slate of high school games that are coming up. We can get into some of those. But there is something happening also on Thursday that involves soccer and commemorating the 96 Olympic Games. Mm. That's right, folks. Soccer at Sanford Stadium in Athens again. I don't think they're going to mess with the hedges. I think the hedges are going to stay put, right? but they're going to play soccer over there, and it's going to be a game. University of Georgia is going to play James Madison. And the idea is the tickets are absolutely free. You have to sign up for them on the Georgia Dogs website. But their goal is to get the largest crowd for a college soccer match and to do it there. So they are looking to try to fill up that stadium as much as possible and get the biggest crowd for college soccer. And, you know, this is something they're aiming for. What a better way to cap off, you know, this year of soccer with this region with what happened here, you know, with World Cup, with 8 World Cup matches. And in case you're wondering, the NCAA record for the largest crowd to see a collegiate soccer game is 14,410 for women and 22,512 for men. I think whatever they do Thursday night can smash both of those by far. And so that is what Georgia's looking to do, be a record-breaking crowd, one of the biggest stadiums in the country. Like I said, we've been talking so much about soccer this year and so much that has gone on in and around this area. Looking forward to capping it off in a way with soccer at Sanford. Go back to where they had.
Is that what they're calling it?
You're calling it soccer at Sanford.
Yeah, that's nice.
and that's coming up this Thursday night. You want to go over and check it out just to see the stadium and see it in a soccer configuration. Some have never seen that, especially if you weren't around 30 years ago to see them do what they did over there. I think they had one men's match. I think Brazil actually lost over there. Nigeria came from behind to beat Brazil in overtime in the 96 Olympics over there. And the U.S. women's team got wins. They beat China and they beat Norway. So those are three Olympic matches that were played there. And they're going back there. And like I said, for all you fans, don't mess with my hedges. Nobody's gonna mess with the hedges, man. Everything's okay.
Kirby out there.
You know, the season about this. You can watch it and make sure everybody's doing everything. No, that won't be the case. But Thursday night, that should be a special event. Should be a big crowd. And curious to see how people receive that. So just a couple of things along with the high school football that's happening. Wanted to make people aware for this week. Now you got some time. What you got?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this yesterday. Yeah. We have had, you know, a regular contributor to the show is Chief Brandon up in Paulding County. Mm-hmm. And he sent me an event that they have coming up September 5th. Paulding County Fire Rescue presents Heroes and Horsepower. This is a car show. And it's going to happen at the Paulding County Courthouse in Dallas, September 5th, from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. And you can go on their website and see more details about this. But we mentioned this, and they wanted us to talk about this because they want, you know, in a way, it's kind of like they're putting pressure on some of the other communities, some of the other counties, because they have, and I don't know how many other counties do this, an awards banquet at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
All the top firemen in Paulding County get together, or all the firemen in Paulding County get together. But those who did things throughout the course of the year, they're going to win some awards. But anyway, that banquet, they don't want the citizens of Paulding County to believe this was paid for by taxpayer dollars. So they are having this event to raise money for their awards banquet. So again, Heroes and Horsepower Car Show, September 5th. 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Paulding County Courthouse. You can get more information about this going to paulding county fire.com. Check that out. Now, the other thing, we are just a few weeks away from a whole bunch of folks coming here. And we talked about this yesterday. You made your first quest down into Dragon Con how many years ago? Was it last year?
No, it was last year.
Last year was your first year?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw some sights.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's coming back just a few weeks out. So all things Dragon Con, you guys know about. But one of the things that you and I have kind of got back on the horse and talking about again is gaming. When it's relevant, things that are going on around the city. So obviously there's going to be a lot of events surrounding Dragon Con and gaming. So Skillshot Media and Ghost Gaming, you want to check them out. But coming up in October 14th and 15th, Sam.
Okay.
There's going to be an esports summit. They're looking for some, I never heard of this before, a speed run speaker. You know about that? A speed run speaker. This is esports summit. Do you have an esports topic you are passionate about? This year we are introducing the speed run speakers, and we want you to be a part of it. This is on skillshotmedia.com. Check it out. But we're going to be talking more about these upcoming esport events. As soon as when they become relevant. So I didn't know about this, but we just wanted to get back into this because we know there's a ton of people out there who enjoy esports. So those are the two I want.
I used to be a speed runner.
I'm sorry?
I used to be a speed runner.
When?
I was obsessed with Super Metroid on Super Nintendo. And my thing when I was in middle school was to see how fast I could run through that game.
Really?
And I think I got down to 35 minutes. There's some people that can do like 20. But once you learn, like, which borders you can skip and special suits or whatever, you can just run through it. Yeah.
We got to get you over to the campus.
Man.
We
got to get you over. So fun.
We got to get you over to the campus. I'm glad we knew that. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for letting me infiltrate your local segment there, Mr. Crenshaw.
And infiltrate? That was you had something to add. That's good.
This is normally yours here.
That's good stuff.
All right. Coming up next, if you did not hear his thoughts after the Falcons game, we are going to let you hear what David Archer had to say post-Falcons game on Friday night. We've got a radio replay for you. Coming up next, it is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Hopefully you guys had a pretty good weekend and are continuing to have one. So here's what we got for you.
Okay.
David Archer was basically playing reporter post-game.
Which he normally does.
And he's in the locker room and you know, got some interviews with some of the players. And so we're going to cut these up and we'll let you hear, if you did not get a chance to hear, from Kevin Stefanski and Kyle Pitts. But we're going to start with David sitting, well, Alex, I won't say sitting down, but cornering, if you will.
Yep.
Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. The first of three little mini radio replays here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Tua, first opportunity to get out there with your team. I know it didn't go exactly the way you wanted it to, and there was some things. Tell me about that and how you kind of fight back. You've been in this league a while. You fight back the frustration and knowing that you wanted to go out and kind of move the ball on.
Yeah, I would say we had opportunities out there. But I would say the display we put out there as a team, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams, you know, that just wasn't our style of football. And then, you know, it goes to say, you know, that doesn't reflect the way our coaches coach us as well. So we understand that. And, you know, it starts with me. Got to be better. Catch the snap. Get our guys going. Get into the rhythm and the flow of the game in the first quarter. And, you know, just with that, kind of beating myself up with it, you know, but just got to be better.
Yeah. And as a guy that's been around this league for a while, and you know how to win, and you've had great success in this league, how much do you have to push yourself a little bit further as far as leadership scenario, that kind of stuff? Is there something you need to say, or do you just do it by example?
Well, I think you start by example. You got to get to know everyone. Got to get to know how everyone communicates as well, you know, and then the aspect of me in competition with Mike, with Coop and those guys, you know, I don't want to overstep any boundaries and whatnot. But, you know, it's just first off being able to show that you're doing it before being able to say anything.
Tell me about next week. Now you guys are going to have some very important practices. Combined practices are always very valuable. You've been involved in those. What do you need to do there as far as showing, hey, this is the way we play here with the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I think the thing that we do is we take what we've done the first 2 weeks and what we've trained, what we've gone over, protections, plays, operation within the offense. You take that with what you've been coached to do. You take that and you try to implement it on a defense you might not know. You know, we'll watch a tad bit of film on them, but you know, as you're going over there, it's really what you can do with what you've been told to do throughout the first 2 weeks in practice, and then go out there and execute.
All right, man. Great talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. Well.
But Tua's got the lines down.
He does.
You know what I mean? But and a lot of people, some people made much about the way, you know, we mishandled a snap. Some people, I listened yesterday, a lot of people calling in on other programs here in the station. I was saying, it looked like he had happy feet. Remember, now he's playing in front of a makeshift line, you know, for this game. They were plugging in holes and getting people in some key positions. And, you know, you want to see the, your regulars out there. You know, we've been watching, you know, on our monitors here in the studios, ESPN and Jackson Dart talking about, oh, man, you know, why do I always end up in the tent, you know, after he got hit? Well, he got rocked because of, you know, his running back missed a blocking assignment. And so that's a whole thing. You don't have your regular starters out there. You still want to get out and get some playing time in. I don't think we can evaluate, you know, after that look, the few snaps, I think you put 8-9 plays.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
But a lot of people, that's really not anything to judge on, but you are getting to see him on the field and play.
Well,
the thing that we really get judged on more than anything this preseason is probably what happens next week out of the camera view.
There you go.
Those workouts
and the practices,
you know,
right?
You know,
right. But you personally, as you know, take your broadcaster and media hat off, and as a fan, how did you feel about what you saw? Even in the little, first of all, taking into account that we've heard, you know, the healing process and what he's going through, and you know, these guys have. What they were doing in the offseason. Okay, so here's your first chance. We got reports. What did we hear throughout training camp before that first game? Things were, yeah, he's looking okay, feeling all right. All very positive news. Yes, it was a short sample of what we saw. But I just, you know, I just felt like kind of the same old with him. Not just dropping the ball, but there was nothing that gave me any sort of spark, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And you look for something, right? You can't just put it off until, we'll wait till next week.
To me,
we'll
don't even look for that from starters in these preseason games. That's to me, if you're looking for that from your starters in a game that don't count,
just the spark.
That's stuff you need to look for. You need to look for spark for some guys who are trying to make impressions in this team and get playing roles. He's got a playing role.
Well, hang on a second.
He has a playing role. To me, that's what this preseason is for, is guys who are trying to solidify their roles and what they're going to be doing. Where was there some pass rush? You know your edge rushes are going to be gone. You know, so to me, that's what I really focused on as far as Friday, and we saw no pass rush.
Okay, so you knew that wasn't going to be there. I know that what you said and what the coaches are looking for. I'm asking you, and I say a spark because I believe that the quarterbacks who are in there, they just think they're waiting on a cab or a lift. They want to have some kind of spark, albeit even if it's just two series that they play. That's what I'm saying. Give me one, you know, completion of a pass. No,
I'm saying pass to Kyle Pitts.
Yes, he did, and we're going to hear from Kyle Pitts in a minute. Yeah. I'm just saying, for me, I didn't get a spark, which is what I was looking for. Just one little spark. Josh Allen, a lot of the other starters played a series or two here and there. They did something. If you're asking
maybe
me,
maybe not.
Pardon?
Maybe not.
No, I saw the replay. I'm saying they did. They made a play that reminded you, oh, this guy's one of the top tier quarterbacks. That's all I'm saying. And for somebody who is on the ascent, or at least has to be, because we want to believe what we have seen from him these past few years is not going to show up here in Atlanta, give me a spark. That's not too much to ask. And that's why you're hearing what you're hearing on these other shows. I don't know what their standard was, but I just wanted to see a spark. You're asking me? That's what I wanted to see. So, yes, we'll wait and see next week if we have to wait then. Or
well, we won't, you know, see it.
Well, or we won't see it. We don't know.
We'll hear reports from that. We'll get reports from people who travel and get to watch it. But, I mean, it's nothing that we're gonna see. We got to take folks' word for it. That's how the preseason works.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying something.
As we add more games to the regular season – that's get ready, because that's kind of how your preseason is going to work.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, that was one. David then cornered head coach Kevin Stefanski.
All right, Kev, a lot of good quality tape comes from playing in games. What do you take from this game that you transfer to next week?
Well, there's plenty to clean up, and really you start with the turnover margin. Then you look at the penalties, and those are things that you don't want to make it harder than it already is when you're going up against a good team. So plenty to clean up from a pre-snap penalty, and certainly some of those illegal contacts, DPIs, that they kept their drives alive. So we'll look at all of it. All of it is excellent work for, you know, the entire roster. I think about some of those guys in the third and the fourth quarter that are putting great tape out there for us to teach off of. So efforts there. We just got to clean a lot of it up.
I thought there were a number of guys that kind of jumped off the page. I don't know if you can see, are you looking at that, or is it more the team process of it? Darnay Holmes, Josh Simon, Josh Woods, a lot of guys made plays.
Without a doubt. And yes, it does jump out at you when you're sitting there or standing there on the sideline and a guy makes a great tackle right in front of you. And I thought the guys were pushing each other to be that next man to make a play. And so good stuff to clean up, but that's why we're here. We're in training camp and we'll get back to work.
All right. So got some important work coming up next week as you go to Indianapolis. How much does this game, or does this game, shape how that week kind of transforms for you as far as maybe personnel or whatever?
Yeah, you know, these games, we're not going to show too much in preseason, and not many teams are, so there's still some things that we're working on and we'll continue to work on in those two practices versus Indy next week, and then we get to play them coming up next Saturday.
Thanks for your time, man.
Thanks, Arch.
All right. I don't know how to comment on that because I haven't been down there as often as you have and heard his comments regularly throughout training camp, because we don't know what what it's going to look like. The end result for a Kevin Stefanski team is still a work in progress, right? So we don't know. So I don't know how to comment on this. My question to you is, or to anybody who's been down on a regular basis, has this been sort of consistent with what he's been saying? All right, so we're going to try and eliminate this. We're going to work on this, blah, blah, blah. All right, now we've had the one game. There was some turnovers. There was this, that, and the other thing. He seems to be focused and ready to address those hiccups that happened in that game while still trying to put his thumbprint on what this team, this offense, is going to look like.
Well, that's been him. He's been pretty steady and consistent. I can say this for Coach Stefanski and what he's been bringing to us and talking to us. Injuries, he doesn't get alarmed. He basically says, he's going to be back soon. He should be back soon. That's what he tells us about a lot of the players who suffer something that it's just like when Tua missed the early part of the training camp. He wasn't ready to go full tilt in the 11-on-11 drills. And so that's been his. But he seemed to be quite focused coming into this situation. Would get a good evaluation for people. He's very pleased. First of all, he says the things that gives him the confidence is the work that went on in the preseason, the offseason, in the OTAs, back in the spring, and the mini camp. He felt like those were the things that gives him confidence in what could be and should be with this team. And so he will tell you that time and time again. Now he's had a little bit to go on as far as the game. We're going to get more next week, and I think that's what we're going to see him really. To me, you really want to see him get them after these workouts in Indianapolis before the game and see what he shares with you then.
I wish he'd have just said, man, I'm looking forward to getting up there and hitting another team. Or just, what I wanted to hear from him. Yeah. And anyway, so we got one more before we get on out of here. Arch cornered Kyle Pitts.
Stand alongside Kyle Pitts now. KP, first chance to get out there and play in a game. I know that the speed changes. Tell me about being out there.
It's great. It's great. Like, they're keeping score. Obviously, we didn't win, but it's good for us as a team and as an offense to put some things together, look at the film, and fix it.
Tell me about it was hard to kind of get something going. You were one of those guys, a catalyst that got us a first down. Sometimes those broken plays work out. Tua was able to come out and find you. Tell me about that and the operation. Does it bother you that the operation didn't go as smoothly as you would have liked it to?
No, I mean, that's growing pains in this preseason. That's what we're doing it now for, and we'll like I said, go over the film and have this ready for September 13th.
What's your anticipation for next week as you get into these? You've been into these combined practices before. I know they're very important. Tell me about that.
It'll be great to go against someone else for a couple of days and then work towards next week, and then we'll be back, I think, playing in the third one, and then put on the final touch for the first game.
All right, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted somebody, I'm ready to get up to India and knock somebody, kind of thing.
Right, right. And he also echoes something that Coach Stefanski says. You're going to see your regulars. They're going to go up there and they're going to participate in that, but not much in the game itself. So, you're not going to see the regulars even as much as we saw them Friday night. We just saw a little bit Friday night. You won't even get that this week in the game. Because that energy is going to go to the combined workouts.
All right, looking forward to this matchup, but also, as you said, looking forward to the reports.
Yeah,
from camp about how folks are looking, and I don't want to hear about no twisted ankles, no jam fingers, little tic tac injuries.
You know what I mean? It's going to be hard to avoid that, but that's what you want. The idea is to have your regulars go through this and come out, clean and without injury. As you move forward in your preparation, that helps a lot. You can go up there and do that, right?
Yeah. Listen, it's a done deal. The Braves have lost the series against Arizona, but they're going at it again. We're going to talk some Braves up next. And then later on in the show, Chad Bishop is going to join us. But these guys got Arizona, but the road trip that's in front of them, that's coming up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This pretty deep to center. At the track, at the wall, and it is gone. And Atlanta grabs the lead in the first, courtesy of Ronald Acuna Jr.
See, that's what messed everything up. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Sunday morning. Hang on a second. I can't hear myself. There we go. I guess cooling the gang. Couldn't hear nothing. All of a sudden, I came unplugged. Yeah, Ronald Acuña jerked one out leading off the game yesterday. Reminded me of Ricky Henderson. Got another run. I figure, oh, okay, they're going to make up for the loss of the day before. And then that was it. Bats went to sleep. And it was maddening. We're going to talk about the rest of the series, but this upcoming week is this schedule. They are being tested this upcoming week.
And, it's true.
Oh,
yeah.
And if y'all don't know what's going on, there's a back-to-back with Milwaukee, but in the two different cities. So they play two in Milwaukee at the end of next week and then come back here to play Milwaukee on Sunday. And that's just, you know, on top of everything else, the traveling they're going to do this upcoming week with Minnesota. And then one day they're going to go to the south side there for a makeup game. Listen, I'm not panicking. I'm not worried all that much. It was just something that I saw this past week and with this series that is concerning a little bit. And it's when the bats go to – it seems like when the bats go to sleep, they don't go individually. They go collectively. And that's a problem. So – that's my thoughts on it.
Just turn on and turn off.
Yeah, man. Maybe the
pitching from the other team has a little something to do with that.
Yeah, it does. it really does.
You know what I mean? But that's the other thing, though. That's the other thing to challenge this team is manufacturing runs. You got a little speed in this lineup, and you know if that's what we need to do. And you know, I was listening to somebody else. I don't know if Grant McCauley was talking with somebody saying maybe you get in this run they've had since the All-Star break. Maybe we've been a little home run happy. And, if you tend to get that mentality where somebody's going to have a big swing, you're not going to go out and look for the opportunities to manufacture or be cognizant of all the opportunities to try to do something if you get on base. I mean, yeah, the pitcher can pitch with a lot of confidence. I mean, nobody on first base with a threat to steal and do some things to in that regard to shake things up and force a run across the plate. So, I mean –
listen, I don't know. Listen, everybody sees what they see.
Yeah.
I've not seen anybody who isn't a home run hitter or a regular deep threat try to swing for the fences or out of the issues. Like, I don't see Ozzie Albies going for it a lot more. But maybe that's something that's relevant. Here's the thing, though. And I was wondering about this. By the way, switching the approach to a game to small ball, as you suggested – if that was something that was needed, they got the perfect manager for that. Because if there's a person who knows about, implementing and playing small ball, it's a middle infielder. And a guy who did that for a while. That was what he did. He was asked to start that when he was playing. So I if that's something that's needed, I feel confident you got the right guy at the helm to do that. But here's the other thing.
Yep.
How aggressive do you want to be? You know how we talk about in the fourth quarter in an NFL game, how sometimes, teams try to sit on the lead. They just try to – it was a prevent defense, and they just try to hold on to the score that they got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why try to play as if you are trying to catch a team ahead of you when you don't have that in play? We aren't the Phillies. Phillies are the ones trying to catch us.
Yeah.
So is there a thought
– oh, you stay hungry.
Well, that's my question.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep that because it's as well as you've done leading up to this point, you're getting ready to go to the final stage here,
mm-hmm.
and you want to go in, hot
on
rather
hot
than
streak.
Going in running. That's what you want. So that's why I'm saying, why not try some different things?
You can try some different
things. At least if you have to result to that at playoff time, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole thing. Have your whole bag of stuff to go through instead of just this one thing. We got to do this right now. We're not hitting it out of the park. We're flat. You're going to take us. You're going to beat us. No. We ain't getting the long ball. We've done some things here coming down the stretch. They'll allow us to have some flexibility, and we can beat you another way. So, I mean, that's the way I would approach it at this stage of the
season. It's funny. I can remember hearing during this time of the season,
mm-hmm.
some years ago, somebody was making a point about Bobby Cox and saying that this is the time of year. I don't know if it's true or not. We can get some of the players that are still around here to say if this is true or not. But Bobby would remind the players, according to this person that I was speaking to who covered the Braves, of what they did during spring training. Yeah, you ever see, like, in August or September, in playoffs, when the pitcher's supposed to cover here, the things they work on ad nauseum in spring training is forgotten by August of where you're supposed to be. And so Bobby Cox, according to this person, would – and it would get under the skin of some of these guys.
Yeah.
But still
– we pros. We know what we're doing.
Exactly. Until you don't. Right? Yeah, you're supposed to be covering first base, or you're supposed to do this that way, or the wheel play, your rundown play, who's covering this base, all of that stuff. That will come into play at one point and usually at the most inconvenient time during the playoffs. And so because of that, and he had experienced it throughout his career, he said, this person was telling me, Bobby would get on him and say, hey, listen, you remember what we did, you know, beginning of spring training, or this is what we did back then in April? Well, you guys aren't doing it now. And get on them, and just to remind them. I'm not saying that Walt Weiss needs to do that now, but it kind of reminded me of that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Listen, we talked about this road trip. We talked about Minnesota. Is there anybody coming up in front of these guys that you, Sam Crenshaw, are kind of worried about?
Well,
they're playing.
Well, I'm hoping that they get this pitcher that will rejoin them. A.J. Smith-Shawver is somebody who's been working his way up through the minor league ranks. Someone they clearly want to give a shout and give a look and an opportunity to start a couple of games here, you know, in the next week or so, just to see where he's at. They've been patient with him as he's recovering and rebounding. He's worked his way up from Augusta over to Columbus, and now he's at Gwinnett. So if he's up there, you know what the next stop is, you know, after the Stripers, is to get him out to out to Truist and see if he can get a start with this Braves team. That's someone we're watching for. We're talking about people who are already in the fold that could be restored to this lineup, restored to this roster, and what it could mean at this stage of the
season.
If
they play, that's
what we're looking for. And, you know, as we talked about pitching, they've been very patient not to try to rush this guy. You saw what happened with Strider. You know, they don't want to rush him back. They want him to get there and be comfortable. He's a young arm, hopefully for the future for this franchise. He's 23 years old. And so I'm curious to see if he gets the call to come up and join in, and where you put him. Do you start him? Do you have him primed for long relief?
Is he bringing it over 100? Forgive me, I don't have the
background. He's not one of those.
So he's
guys.
Not one of those kind of pitchers.
He's not one of those kind of pitchers, because those guys been kind of lately. You know, we got one that's really hot, and you have some others who have their difficulties, who've been in that range. But, you know, he's one of the several Braves pitchers who've been injured and working their way back. And I'd like to see this guy get in and do some things. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I don't know if you throw him out there against the Dodgers when you come back after a week or not.
Listen, why not? First of all, the Dodgers aren't that juggernaut they were a few weeks or months ago.
But
they
you just know you're going to have to deal with them.
You're going to have to deal with them,
You're going to have to deal with them at some point.
Here's the other side of that, though, Sam. Nobody knows this kid. There's no book on him. So he actually has the advantage. They don't know anything about him. He could go in there like we talked about Atlanta United going up against the Red Bulls.
Yep.
They just, you know, they've been beating their behinds all these times. Atlanta United just figured at some point, all right, we're just going to go in there and have some fun and play. And look what happened. This could be the case in a different sort of way, that this young pitcher is brought out there and for whatever reason, he's befuddling the batters that he's facing, because they don't know who this guy is. Now, if he's a crafty kind of pitcher, you got to tell me more about this kid. I haven't watched him come up through the minors and what he's got and what his strong
point is. He's been up with the big league team before now, but he's just down and he's working his way back. So, I mean, as far as anything with this, you know, film room is everything in baseball as well. We like to talk about film room with football. The same thing is that. You know, batters, before they face a pitcher, like to try to find some video to watch and see what habits he had, what his pitches are and whatnot. And maybe they can find some of his minor league stuff that they can watch. But there's nothing for him as far as pitching, you know, with the Braves that they could study on for this season. So, I mean, that's the other thing. You're right. You're talking about in that regard. Once you go through the lineup one time, there's stuff out there, you know, and stuff for all the other teams.
So you bring him in as a middle reliever. You don't know where he's going to fit best and where his comfort zone is. And by the way, until he gets back again,
right,
what's going to happen between his ears? All of these are questions that can't be answered until he gets out there 60 feet, 6 inches from the batter, right? He knows how his body's going to react, and he knows what he wants to do, but got to see it implemented first.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the interesting watch. Listen, we talked about the road trip of what is next week, and as you said, coming back home, Freddie Freeman and the boys are going to be here, and that's the Dodgers.
Well, we hope Freddie's going to be okay.
Well, Freddie's okay. He played last night.
All right.
I mean, he may not be 100%, but he's back in the lineup. Wow. That was a fall.
That was a scary fall for him, you know. But glad he's okay. And looking forward to seeing him. Always great to have him back in town. And a lot of fans will go out, obviously. Still Freddie Freeman fans because of what he done here. And it's great to see him, but we hope we're able to beat him.
Yeah. Do you, when we mention Freddie now, is your second thought usually Matt Olson? Mine is. I mean, for whatever reason, he pops into my head, and I think about who he is and the player he has become. Mm-hmm. And that streak that he's on is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
To sneeze at all.
No.
And so, yeah, we did not expect to have the next Freddie Freeman when he went to the Dodgers. But, man, I can't think of a guy
he's ended up being the perfect person to step into this spot. And, and he's back home.
Mm-hmm.
And just think he was with the A's. And he was doing great things out there,
too.
On a team that was, I won't say was going nowhere, but were they going to Vegas eventually? to come here, and he knew what he was dealing with, mm-hmm. Coming here. And to me, I applaud the way he's gone about business, here and has made it his own. He's not playing Freddie Freeman's spot. It is his spot. And I think the fans here appreciate it. And he's having an incredible season.
Look where I go with this. Hey, Noel, if you got a second, because you mentioned Ronald Acuna Jr. earlier, they're making a movie about that dude. Who's starring in it?
What happened?
They're making a Ronald Acuna Jr. movie. Who's starring in it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because you brought him up earlier. I know that's your boy.
Hmm.
The reason I bring that up is because yesterday it hit me. If they make a movie about certain players on the Braves or about the Braves, I know who's playing Matt Olson.
Oh.
Keanu Reeves. Looks just like him.
No.
I mean, I was looking at him yesterday walking. The way he carries him. Now, you don't see this, Sam. You're looking at the Matrix or something. But he has Keanu Reeves has a gait about him that reminds me of Matt Olson. Very quiet. I'm not talking about his acting. I'm talking about the person. Take a look. Take a second look at that. I'm just saying. Keanu Reeves, Matt Olson.
Too old.
Well, I don't mean right.
That person.
That person.
I like the idea of it, though. It would probably be a Glenn Powell or something today, though. But I do like
I was thinking of somebody with dark hair. That's I. But all right, Glenn Powell, be it.
We got hair dye. We got wigs.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Anyway, I was looking at him yesterday, and I don't know why, but Keanu Reeves popped into my head.
I like it. I think I would go Dimsum Idris for Ronald Acuna.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay. How about that? By the way, have you seen who is the kid who's the new Black Panther?
Yeah.
Oh.
That'd be interesting.
Man.
Let's see if Marvel can win me back.
we came back here, and I was going to give you a little snippet, a tidbit of something that was insignificant, but it just right out of my head.
Uh-oh.
I will tell you that today – I know what it was. We were at the Falcons camp last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had the folks out there asking questions, and if you answered the question right, you got a T-shirt. And the question was, what year were the Falcons founded here in Atlanta? Which you got to kind of think about for a second because it was 65, but they start playing 66.
66, yeah.
Same thing happened with another team here, and I'm going to tell you the reason I bring this up. That is coming back. We're heading into the 8 o'clock hour. We have got Megan L. Hall talking WNBA. We got money flying through there. We're going to talk about that. But Atlanta United got themselves a win against a team that has just been frustrating them from day one, as Sam put it. But they got the win. We're going to hear Mike Conti call and talk about Atlanta United 2-1 over New York Red Bulls. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at UnitedHealthcare.
When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.